A young man moved to a new country. And without going into the details, it means that something transpired and he was ready to do another kind of work from a new understanding about himself and the world that he had been in, that he was now leaving. And with a certain amount of expectation, some fear, some excitement, he took possession of his new home in the new kingdom into which he had come. Now, one of the first things that happened is when he was walking around being shown his property and the possessions that were now his, he was introduced to a creature that he had never seen before. He'd heard about them, where he was from, but had never seen one. And for the sake of your peace of mind, he was introduced to a donkey that was part of the farm that he had inherited. Now, the reason he didn't know a donkey is because the country that he'd come for before, everybody just bought everything. Nobody actually had a field in which they worked. And therefore, nobody really cared about what it was that they were given or what they had to do to get it, as long as they could just take care of themselves without much work. That was all that mattered. And he was immediately smitten with this creature, and over the next week or two became fast friends, wound up calling him Rex, because he just loved to rub the donkey's muzzle. I don't know if you've ever been up close and friendly with a donkey, but they are a very sweet creature. And he was just totally taken with this wonderful creature that he began to take out into the field and do some work with, and all was pretty good, except maybe a couple weeks later, his neighbor noticed that he hadn't been out in the field with Rex. And he said to him, "Where have you been?" And he said, "I don't know." "Well, what do you mean? Let's be more explicit." "Well," he said, "you know, good old Rex, he just doesn't want to go out. He didn't want to put on the harness. He doesn't want to do any work, so, you know." And his friend says to him, "Listen, I have to tell you something. You've forgotten something fairly essential about Rex." "Well, what's that?" "Rex is a jackass, man. It has its own will. It's going to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. But you are intended to be the one who tells Rex what to do." Now, I give you that little story so that you can understand a few very essential things that, by and large, some of you are completely forgetting. Number one, nothing in the universe is supposed to tell you what you feel. Number two, nothing inside of you that wants to deal with what you don't want to do and what you don't want to be has the power to deal with it. All it has the power to do is to leave that nature in the barn. Number three, it's easy to forget that there is something that lives inside of you that wants absolutely nothing to do with the kind of suffering that's required in order to experience a transformation of your nature. It may seem natural at the point of development at which most of you are that you can have a day and accept it, by the way, fairly willingly, where nothing inside of you is interested in anything spiritual. Just a cold hearth. No embers, no flames, not even any wood, let alone the thought that I should go out in spite of the fact that I want nothing whatsoever to do with any interior flame or fight to produce one, that I should go out and go do what I have to do so that the jackass, so that these eyes inside of myself that have all turned outside and can see nothing inside, don't rule the day. Don't let the garden go fallow. Because until you get to the point where you feel nothing but then are still willing to do everything it takes to bring yourself into the garden where you can do the work, you have not found the part of you capable of doing work yet. You are merely a follower of a certain attraction. And all attraction will fade. You must develop inside of yourself something that is capable of being present in the moment when nothing in you is interested in anything spiritual. Because at that point, and I ask you, yes or no, everything in the world is more interesting than that. Oh, I've got important business to do. I'll read the news. I don't even like the news, but I'll read it. You know, the dishes I didn't do 3 days ago, now's the time to do them. You have to meet the parts of you that don't want to do what is true for you. You have to recognize that you have a dog, an animal, a donkey, a stubborn set of eyes, who from time to time will go out because I feel like going out. I'll do some work. I feel like doing some work. You're going to be there. We can have a grand old time. But that same part of you that doesn't want to move out of its stall of self-involved plans and thinking, that doesn't want to leave its suffering where it is, that's all turned out and looking at things that do nothing other than empty you further as you chase whatever images they're producing. That's the moment when you have to pick yourself up inwardly and, in spite of feeling nothing for the truth, do what is true anyway. Because I'll tell you what happens when you get old Rex out into the field and you get him to move, you realize that's where I was supposed to be the whole time. This is where my life is. My life is in turning over the earth of myself. My life is in sowing the seeds that, by the way, have educated me to the point where I can see now very clearly these parts of me that pretend to love truth, but every possible situation they can enter into that denies that truth, they go into. Because then I'm always too busy. Then I always have too much on my mind, or I'm too tired because I've had too much to do. Makes no difference. You go to sleep and forget that this nature that lives inside of you wants nothing whatsoever to do with, by the way, what it will often present to you in imagination as being the purpose of your existence. You can feel the goodness of that purpose, but the time comes when you must set down what you have imagined and enter into a direct relationship with this nature that doesn't want to work, that doesn't want to meet its own emptiness, its own selfishness, its own anger, whatever it may be. You must take that creature by the nose, not violently. You see, the creature has to follow. The creature has to follow. That's what you don't know. That self, that part of you that is apathetic, that is inert, that is busy with other things, you don't know that it is your authority over this interior beast to bring it into the field of your choosing rather than to let it exhaust you or to drag you into its field where you serve its needs and you get nothing out of what you do for it. I don't know how much clearer I can make this to you. You shall not let your own apathy or inertia lead you. You shall not let it tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. If nothing else, you must stand in the barn with it and not let it go to sleep, even though you can't get it out into the field. That is the only way you will ever be gradually given authority over what presently has authority over you. Because the divine sees the man or the woman. Maybe I can't do a thing. I got nothing. Dry, empty, horrible. But that doesn't mean the creature goes to sleep and has its dreams in the barn of my life. It means I stand in the barn with it And I keep trying to shake it awake, and I keep trying to take it to do what I know is the right thing to do, not let it tell me that it can't, and therefore I'm wrong for bothering it, or anything else like that. You are not tough enough with yourselves. You are not tough enough with yourselves. You accept too easily the feeling of I can't, or I don't, or I won't. Every last one of those sentiments belongs to a level of self that is dedicated to making circles, to reincarnating itself. And as it does, taking your energy down with it, so that gradually you have less and less ability to actually bring yourself into the field where freedom is found. Freedom is not something, and freedom is not a place that you imagine where you come to the end of work. Freedom is not the end of work. Freedom is the love of work. That's what freedom is. Understanding the rightness and the goodness of doing what is right and good. That's freedom. Not easy, but that's freedom. Because then you are always where you know you're supposed to be, doing what you know you're supposed to be doing in spite of the personal cost.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org. Receive helpful free gifts along with a host of life-changing information. That's guyfinley.org.